It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and I am back once again to talk about some Big Brother 18 on a Labor Day evening, or Memorial Day, if you ask Victor and Paul. And I'm joined by my good pals. I've missed them so much. I haven't talked to them, I guess, in a couple weeks now. It is the live feed correspondent. So let's go around the horn. First is a man who is so dedicated to the podcast that he postponed his plans to go visit his parents tonight so that he could be with us. It is the lovely Brent Wolkemont, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Hey, everybody. Like a great man once said, give kids the protein. That's all I'm saying. All right. If you don't get that joke, you got to watch the podcast from last night with Rob and Taryn and Alex.
Well said, Brent. Yes. And next is a man who almost single-handedly saved this podcast from going live. I was a little bit nervous. We had some technical issues, but he's a wizard, and he figured it all out. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. I just happened to, you know, that's why it's good to have multiple sets of eyes on things. You know, this technical issues, they can be very nuancey and obnoxious, and so sometimes it helps to just have a couple people glancing over some things and figure it out. We piece it together here.
That's right, man. Friendship. I was gonna say, Alex, in your bio on Twitter it says you're the SVP of Reality TV. Are you also the MacGyver of RHAP? Is that the other thing that you are?
Yeah. Hook me up with like a shoelace, a paperclip, a rubber band, and some string, and I'll fix you a podcast.
That's how we roll with the LFC. Well done, Alex. And last but not least, I'm going to thank this man as well for gracing us with his presence after crossing the 5,000 follower mark on Twitter. It is RHAP legend, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I feel like there might be a little tension between us. You know, Brent noticed it earlier and he said something to me, and I just feel like I promised people this would be a barbecue episode and then I forgot to bring the barbecue, and I just feel like you're really mad at me, Jordan.
Just like a little bit. Like a little bit, but I won't hold it against you.
Why did you pretend nothing was wrong?
I don't know, I wasn't
oh my god, why do I get in showmances?
This is why I eat before I come to these things,
right? That's the move, is you eat before you come on the podcast. All right, well, let's set things up for everybody here. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us today on a special Labor Day edition of the podcast. And we got a lot of people watching us live, so we appreciate you watching us live if you are, but probably some more people listening in the audio today. If you want to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, you can go to robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour. And a special shout out and thank you to my boy Mike Bloom for filling in for me last week while I was away. So big thanks to Mike. I think Mike did a great job. All three of you guys did an excellent job. I thought it was very well done podcast. And I was like a little nervous that Mike did so good that Rob might call me and say, hey, like, just so we don't really need you anymore. Mike's doing the RuPaul show. He's doing the Happy Hour. It's the, you can spell RHAP with, you can spell RHAP without Mike Bloom, but still, we need him. So it was almost too good, Mike. So well done. I might need to reconsider asking you back to fill in for me. Let's set things up for you guys watching us live here. We are live on YouTube Live. So if you want to get your questions in, you can still do that. You can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Rehappy Hour, and we'll get into your Big Brother questions as the show progresses. And just so you guys know, this is a, if you're new to the Rehappy Hour, this is a spoiler show. We talk about the live feeds, what's going down, who's used the veto, who's won the veto, who's going home, all that kind of stuff. So if you do not want to know any of that information, now is your time to bounce out, and you can come join us again later on in the week. Let's jump right into it, guys. Let's talk about the POV ceremony. It was today. Taryn and Alex, you guys were on RJP last night talking about what the plan was. Corey had won the veto. The plan was for him to not use the veto. Brent, did Corey live up to his I saw someone call him Bory today because he's so boring. Did he live up to that and not use the veto?
That's an appropriate name. Of course he didn't use the veto. Why is he going to use the veto? If he uses the veto, then Nicole's going to go up in James or Natalie's place. So there's no play for them here, even if they wanted to make a move of some kind.
Brent, would you like Corey if he did do that, though, and just
stab
Nicole
amazing.
In the back?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I mean, having to listen to Nicole, I think it was yesterday or today, talking about how, you know, she's already got her final two speech plan where she takes Corey to the end and she's got to, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And she's going to take him because she knows he'll win. I'm like, I just want to slap her. Like, so for him to cut her would be so great. And they were dogging John and Netta from Big Brother Canada 2. She was like, there's a guy who, like, decided to take the other girl and he didn't take his partner in Big Brother Canada. And they were like, oh, that's gross. That's terrible. I'm like, no, it was glorious. I mean, I hated it for Netta, but it was glorious. So I only hope these two could rise to the level of John and Netta.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing this Ric Flair argument in the house. Just go to the end with who you go to the end with, and then beat.
Thank
them.
You. Yes,
right? it happens every season, though, right? Like the person that thinks that they're the one that's going to win is like, yeah, you got to beat the best, right? Like, like put this into the atmosphere. Everyone's going to take and stay loyal to each other, so we're all good, right?
Woo!
Now. I just realized that was your Ric Flair.
Right? I got so that too, actually. I know a little bit
so
of wrestling.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so good. So, Alex, last night you were on with Taryn, and the plan was for James to stay and for Natalie to go home. Is that still what's looking like it's going to happen this week?
It's dicey. For the first time today, I heard a conversation between Nicole and Corey where Nicole basically said that she doesn't care too much who goes. And that surprised me because I feel like she should really care. It should really make a big difference to her. And she's almost, you know, Corey seems to really insist like, no, we should keep James. And she's like, well, if Victor and Paul really want, really want to go the other way, then I'm not going to push it at all. And I think she certainly should. I think this is a very pivotal point, and it's almost like, all right, who wants this game? Who wants this thing? Somebody
right,
take
Corey,
this thing right now, and nobody's like stepping up and seizing it.
Well, Corey was the voice of reason during that conversation because he was like, well, screw what Victor and Paul want. You know, like we have to do this no matter what. Like, you know, and Nicole was making an argument, well, you know, they kept us safe this week. And he's like, well, we kept him safe last week. Like, you can play that game till infinity. So who cares? You know, make the move that's best for you. Obviously, it's best for them to boot Natalie here and keep James.
Yeah, I think this is another flaw of Nicole's game. You know, we talked a lot about how she's not good under pressure when she's confronted.
Right.
Another flaw is that, you know, and this can also be a benefit, but she plays very, very timidly. And I think this is an example where that timidness is sort of a detriment to her game rather than a benefit. And ultimately, I do think that she still wants to get rid of Natalie, but she is not as willing to push for it as Corey is. And ultimately, Corey is the one that has to tell her, like, whatever, we're going to do this no matter what, and because it's best for our game.
What? So-
Right? Well,
and like, Nicole is timid, too, because if you saw her during the tiebreak eviction vote, like, I mean, if that was Dan Gieseling or another player, I mean, they would have had a whole speech about why they're doing this, explaining their move. Nicole just got up there and said, for strategic reasons, Michelle, I vote to evict you. Girl, bye. It was done and over with. No drama, no nothing whatsoever. So, yeah, she doesn't have a flair for the dramatic, Nicole.
So Nicole has said that she doesn't really care either way. Have Paul and Victor, because you guys were talking last night, Taryn, about how Paul was on board. He was fine with Natalie going. Have Paul and Victor started to realize that keeping Natalie is probably what's best for their game?
Not so much. Paul is still on board with this. He's even told Nicole that he thinks that Natalie is more likely to go after her than James. But it's still not really registering to him that that's a good thing for him and that he should want Natalie in the house instead of James. I think he really is very loyal to this final four, and he sees not only
Too
sees
loyal.
James as easier to beat in the HOHs, but again, he also had that sort of little spat with Natalie where she was kind of attacking him, and I think he still feels a bit rattled from that. Not rattled, yeah,
and,
but like.
And Jordan, also, Paul let it be known that he thinks that James would put himself, Paul, and Victor on the block. And he told that to Nicole. I'm like, well, are you nuts? Like, I mean, you know, I mean, I have such faith in Paul as a Big Brother player, but, you know, like Alex said, like, who wants this game at this point? Like, it's there for the taking, and they're just not taking any swings.
Yep.
Like, that's just so frustrating. I don't understand why he would do this. So there's been – what's Victor been saying, Alex? Is Victor – he's just like – same thing. He's just like, all right, I'll do whatever. Like, let's just keep James and get rid of Natalie. Like, somebody's got to have some sense. I don't understand why they're just – like Brent said, or you said earlier, it's just like they're just chilling and hanging out. It's like, guys, this is – you're going into Final
right.
Five.
You get nothing final for Final five. Four. You get nothing for Final Four. You don't get anything except to remember, hey, we were Final Four once. Remember that? Like, somebody's going to get $500,000. Somebody please step up and take the money, please.
Yeah, no, I mean, this should be common sense at this point. When you're at 9, you lock up some kind of 5. When you're at 7, lock up a 4. When you're at 5, lock up a 3. Like, this is, you know, this is like the oldest kind of Big Brother, Survivor, whatever reality competition game you want. Like, this is just kind of 101. So, yeah, it is frustrating to feel like they're, you know, everyone in the house is just kind of missing this big piece of the puzzle here.
Well, right. I think this is again, you know, Paul's lack of experience. You know, he has grown a lot as a player, and he's learned a lot about how the game works. But this game has a lot of different facets to it. And as you get down to the end, there's a whole new strategy that you have to start to incorporate into your game. And he doesn't know that. He hasn't seen the game before. He doesn't know what kind of path to take to the end. And so this inexperience is causing him to sort of have this blindness where he feels like, yeah, get to Final Four, battle it out. That's what everyone does, right?
Yeah, when Paul was talking, I think it was yesterday or today, I mean, you can tell he's still so burned about the fact that James and Natalie turned their back on him. Natalie put him on the block. And, when, you know, he's trying to figure out, you know, why did you guys turn on me? He cannot let that go. His hatred for James, I don't know if it's hatred. His disappointment, I don't know what you want to call it, but he doesn't like James and Natalie at this point, and he wants them gone because they turned his back on him. But, and the other thing he's doing this week is he's, because of that, I'm just going to call it, for lack of a better word, hatred of them, dislike of them in the game. He doesn't want to let them know who is going this week. He wants to keep it up in the air until Thursday night. Who is the target this week? And that is the worst possible way. I mean, is it good TV? Possibly. Is it something that I may do? Possibly. But that doesn't mean it's a good, that doesn't mean it's a good play. It's a terrible play, because now you're not making any bonds with either of these people. You have to hope for the best when it comes to Final Five, when it's Corey, Nicole, whoever you keep, and Paul playing for HOH, that somehow Paul pulls it out, or that Corey and Nicole somehow, you know, make a bad play and decide to go after the partner of the person who's evicted this week rather than Victor and Paul, which I think they certainly will.
Let me just jump in here. It's especially bad as well if, you know, it would be one thing if Paul and Victor were doing that and they were keeping Natalie and they know, okay, well, Natalie hates Corey and Nicole. She's probably still going to go after them anyway, but James is not with you. So you're just pushing him away even further this is the time where Paul and Victor should be trying to somehow build a relationship with James.
Right. And Natalie was trying to have a sort of, you know, maybe she was doing it to try to get off the block. Maybe she was trying to get a vote. You can make your arguments of what she was trying to do. But she was trying to sort of apologize, explain herself to Paul. And he had a really bad reaction to her. And I talked about this. This is like total jury management. Like, if you know she's going home, all of a sudden, Natalie, who was totally anti Nicori in that moment changed to, well, James, if you stay, maybe now put Paul and Corey on the block. So all of a sudden now Paul's a target because he had a shitty attitude with Natalie when she's practically walking out the door this week.
Taryn, you wanted to jump in there. I cut you off.
Oh, like the whole thing about let's not talk to them. Let's make sure that they don't know who's going to leave.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of the study where they leave children with marshmallows and they say, like, if you don't eat this marshmallow, we'll give you more marshmallows later. But the children always eat the marshmallows. It's like you're just leaving this wide open door for Nicole and Corey to just stride right in and take the marshmallows and then have the better position next week. It's just, it's crazy.
Wait, is this? I've never heard of this marshmallow study.
Oh yeah, it's all about self-control.
Is it like commonly taught in American public schools? Because in Canada, I mean, I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of it either. But then again, I am before your time, so there's that possibility. Yes, I would definitely fail this, and I would eat all the marshmallows that I could get. Yeah, exactly what Taryn talks about. I mean, you know, look, somebody has to have. It is boggling to me that Paul, who I think has evolved into a replacement level plus Big Brother player at this point, doesn't see that there is positioning to be had going into the final five. He totally seems oblivious to it. Alex, why is he doing this? I mean, he's played so well up to this point, and now he just seems like his dislike for Natalie and James is the primary source of his motivation at this point. Winning $500,000 is not.
Right. Well, yeah, man, I think we've seen over the course of seasons, a lot of good Big Brother players get derailed in terms of their focus, like just lose sight of the bigger picture at various points in the game. And I think that's just kind of what's happening right now, where, I think last week I talked about how the reason Nicole and Paul were better than everyone else is they seem to be the only two players who are thinking forwardly, who are really looking ahead and thinking about how does this affect me going forward. And, like we're talking about now, like Paul is kind of regressed to a point where he's focusing on this week and last week and things people have said or have done. And once you start to frame your mind that way and not the way it was, which is like, how do I get myself further? What am I doing to win this game? Then you're kind of like going down the wrong path.
Sorry, Taryn, I'm cutting you off again. I'm going to pass the ball back to you.
I love it. Keep doing it.
No, Paul to me is one of these players. He has the ability. He just doesn't have the knowledge. And if he was to come back, I think that he would be able to do really well in this game. It's just the lack of knowledge, the lack of experience is just really cutting into his ability and his potential to play this game.
Yeah, one of the easiest things that can happen with players, and it happens very commonly on the first go around, is getting tunnel vision. I think that's really what's going on with Paul right now. And I think after this season, if he doesn't win, I think he's going to come back to this moment and realize, oh, what was I thinking? I regret it so much. And I think when he goes back on a further season, he's going to realize, adaptability is a much more, it's a very important trait. You got to have it if you want to win this game, in my opinion, at least. Well, maybe not always, but if you want a good chance of winning this game, if you want to be a great player, it's crucial.
I think we see tunnel vision hit a lot of players at various times in the season. And yeah, I mean, some good players later on and, like Devin Shepherd in week two, It's like, but it's all the same thing. It's all losing focus of the big picture. Like Devin just got in the house and he was just like, oh, it's the house where all the great people have played. Like, and he just lost immediately. And for Devin, it was an immediate loss of focus. But for other people, it takes weeks or days or, But everyone, that's the thing. It's like with such a long season, everyone is going to hit some mental wall at some point. And it's like about kind of centering yourself and refocusing on what's important.
Well, let's face it. Devin was born in the tunnel and he lives in the tunnel.
So is he like...
Guys, can somebody does anyone have a flashlight? Maybe one of those miners' helmets.
He doesn't know that he's in the tunnel, Alex. He thinks that that's real. It's Plato's cave all over again.
Yeah, was Devin is Devin Ra's al Ghul's kid? Like in Batman, he grows up in the tunnel, and he like finally escaped and got into PV16.
Daytime, yeah.
Right? Oh my gosh! And so many people got lost in that reference. But if you've seen the Dark Knight trilogy of the Batman, well, Dark
Knight
Rises.
One of the four people
really,
that haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, you won't understand it. But
wow, Ra's al Ghul, yeah, good reference. I like it.
Right there,
yeah,
we go. Brent.
You love your Batman.
I do. You know what's funny is I'm actually more of a Spider-Man guy, but I just keep making Batman references today.
Okay,
I was making
cool.
them in the pre-show as well. Brent, I will throw this question to you, my friend. We talked about, Tara mentioned that Paul and Victor are kind of just blindly loyal almost to this final four alliance they've made with Nicole and Corey. What are Nicole and Corey thinking about this in terms of next week? Have they been talking about backstabbing Paul and Victor, or are they also loyal to this thing?
Wow, that's a tough question. I mean, I haven't heard them speak about this too much. Alex, Taryn, you can jump in if you want to correct me here. But from what I've been able to tell, it seems like they're more worried about being put on the block next week, as not so much as far as who the target is next week. I haven't necessarily heard them talk, and I have been working this week. I'm just going to lay it out there. I haven't seen all the feeds this week. She does have a job, okay? So there's that. I haven't seen them talk about targeting Paul and Victor I think they're hoping that if James, who stays, somehow wins head of household, that he's going to target Paul and Victor. That's what they're clearly worried about, is keeping the person in the game who's going to target the other pair. But as far as if they won head of household, I haven't heard them say what they would do. Alex, Taryn, what have we heard?
They do currently plan on sticking to that final four, but they, unlike Paul and Victor, they are thinking ahead and they are thinking about who's going to help us down next week, you know, James or Natalie, and they know that they have a better shot with James, and if James takes a shot at Paul or Victor, they're fine with that. And really, the fact that they are thinking this in this sort of self-interested way, if they do win HOH next week, it really would not surprise me if they went, hey, you know what? It's probably better to target either Paul or Victor at this point. So even though they're not really talking about it right now, the fact that they are thinking ahead and they are thinking with this sort of self-interest where Paul and Victor aren't makes me think, yeah, they probably will turn on them next week if they win.
And I think this is a good example of how, like, you know, Nicole and Corey have had their game arc has been mostly stable. Like, they had one week where kind of things flipped on them, but they were able to get it back pretty quickly. For the most part, what they've wanted to happen has happened, and it's been relatively smooth sailing. Paul and Victor have had really, really bumpy rides all season. I mean, Paul's on the block, and he's fighting for his life for the whole, like, first third of the season, and Victor's been evicted twice, and, you know, it seemed like everything people sold them all season turned out to be bullshit. You know what I mean? So it's like these two guys have been just grasping for anything they can actually believe in all season, and Nicole and Corey finally provided that. So, you know, given that they don't have a background of Big Brother knowledge, it's understandable to see why they would want to finally hold on to something that's actually real. But the problem is that, you know, you need to be thinking further. They're just so excited, I think, to finally have something that's right, tangible and legitimate that, you know, they just can't see past it.
Guys, if James stays this upcoming week, wouldn't it make the most sense going into this final five for him to throw this HOH? Because in my head, I'm thinking, if I'm James, both sides are going to realize, hey, Nicole and Corey, Paul and Victor, they are the bigger threat. But based on what you guys are saying, maybe I'm crazy. What do you think about that, Tom?
No,
this is the Godfrey move, and I think that Godfrey knew his position was a good one going forward. He knew that the pairs would target each other. James both doesn't have the awareness to know whether or not they'll target each other, and even if he did, I think he would realize that Paul and Victor will probably, or Paul would probably target him if he won HOH, and even if he does, you know, have some sort of case with Nicole and Corey, there's still definitely a chance that they still take him out, thinking that he's a bigger jury threat than the other two or something like that. So I do think that James needs to win this. And the best part about James winning it is that if they were planning on sticking together as a four, they now have to turn on each other. If he puts up one from each, you know, that's great for them. They're going to be campaigning for his tiebreaker vote, and he can choose whichever side he wants to go with to the final four.
Brent, you were saying no. Why? You're saying no, he shouldn't do that, or no, he's not
going
because, to do that?
Well, because, you know, that, look, Godfrey was in a position where he knew what the other people were thinking. I don't think James realizes at this point that if Paul, you know, or maybe he does know, I don't know, if Paul wins head of household, as Taryn correctly notes, that if Paul wins, he's likely going to target James. And there's no way, look, the voters have a lot of power at five, but if Paul wants James gone at five, he can get James gone at five. All he has to do is place James and one of Nicori or Cole on the block. Obviously, they're going to vote to save each other, so they'll vote against James, and he has the tiebreaker vote. And obviously, Victor will vote the way he wants to. So, I mean, if he wins head of household here, he can get James out. There's nowhere to hide for James. I feel like he has to win head of household at five, or hope that Nicole and Corey win head of household, and just pray to God that they eventually see Paul and Victor as a bigger threat. You know, I'm hoping he needs to hope that the money starts to smell a little bit more at Final Five, and that they wake up and smell the coffee here.
So, Alex, taking this all into consideration, next week, who do you think is in the most hot water then? Just because based on what I'm hearing, it sounds like Paul and Victor should probably be pretty nervous if Paul doesn't win this HOH.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of talked about it a little on Sunday night. I feel like they, to some extent, need to win out here. They need to be winning, you know, either HOH or Veto every week for the rest of the way if they want to, you know, maintain control on this game, because it's really shaping up for Nicole and Corey plus one the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say, if if Paul can just pull out a win here at Final Five, and I know something weird things can happen with Final Five where the person who's off the block can take somebody off the block, and then, you know, obviously Victor would have to go up as a replacement. But assuming that doesn't happen, let's just assume for the sake of argument that Paul pulls out a win here at Final Five. That, I mean, boy, that would be great, because then they could go to the Final Four. Obviously, at four, the veto determines everything. As long as one of the two of them won the veto, they would be fine, and they'd go to the Final Three together. I mean, it's all about this HOH competition coming up for Paul. If he can, if he needs to pull out a win. We talk about that all the time, how, you know, like Netta, you know, other people, I'm trying to think of somebody off the top of my head who needed a win at a certain time.
Cass, Tim.
Yeah, Ian too. Ian pulled out a win during the final, the second double eviction maze thing, the veto. You have to, at some point, in order to win Big Brother, you have to pull out a win. And I think Paul's time is coming up this Thursday.
We'll see, Brent. I don't know. I think sticking with the theme of this season, I think Corey's going to win.
I don't know. Well, we got what we wanted this week. You know, I am heartened by that. You know, like, I thought for sure Natalie was going to spell HOH in that stupid egg competition. But luckily, she did not. Victor won. I've replayed, because I watched it on the feeds, I've replayed the moment that Victor won Head of Household at least 20 times. Like, I absolutely lived for it. Like, it was absolutely great. I was like, oh, this is the Big Brother that I love, where it's like Janelle wins the tiebreaker and says, give me that key, bitch. Like, I love it. Like, I love Big Brother like this, where, you know, like, it's all about the comps and you pull out a win when you absolutely need one.
Yeah, Victor is very close. He's slowly climbing up the ranks of greatest comp celebrators of all time. Like, every time he wins, he's like, yeah! And then on feeds, like, he's just dropping F-bombs when he wins. And it's just like, it's so great. I really, like, when he got back in the house, like, that for me, that just fired me up so much. The back in the effing house. It was just so great.
Sure. He retells the whole story every single time.
Right, and he always says, like, they tried to evict me. I'm like, bitch, they did evict you. Wake up.
Twice.
Sure, everyone loves it when Victor does it, but when Dallas does it in Big Brother Canada 4, everyone hates the guy.
Well, you know.
Well, it's all relative. Twice. It's all relative, Alex. I'm sure, like, yeah, if it depends. If Cappy wins
too, what the F?
Hey, no, people didn't like Victor in the beginning. They like,
yeah,
it once,
true.
He,
I didn't
once
like
he becomes
the
underdog.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to see his family and all of his friends. I mean, it was so heartwarming. And then he wins Head of Household. Like, come on. That was total storybook stuff right there.
And he took out Pauly, which I think didn't help.
Yeah, exactly.
Or didn't
true.
Hurt.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Okay, let's just talk about a few things that have just been going on in the feeds this week. There hasn't really been anything going down that's major from my estimation. If you listen to RHAP last night, you pretty much got the gist of what's been going on. But there's been some fighting going on, some arguing amongst the showmances. First, let's talk about Nakori. There was a fight, I think it was yesterday, where, like, Corey made fun of her and Nicole, like, got up in the middle of the backyard and just, like, stormed off and was, like, really upset. Alex, did you see this?
Yeah, like, I didn't necessarily see what caused it. Feeds cut away.
Right.
But, you know, when they came back, like, Nicole's sobbing and Corey's like, oh, now I'm the bad guy. She's like, why are you the bad guy? He's like, because you're crying. And so, you know, I mean, I guess he, you know, he said something to the effect of, like, I don't know, you know, some comment that was, you know, a throwaway comment, but it was also the kind of thing that was like, you know, maybe you say it when you've just been living with someone too long. You know what I mean? And you need a little bit of separation. I can't remember what it was. Do you guys remember?
It was something about, yeah, it was about, like, he said, like, she showed her true colors or something like that. And
something stupid.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The kind of thing that, like, it, like, if you get along with your roommate, like, that means nothing. But if you hate your roommate, it's the kind of thing where you're like, I can't believe they said that. Like, that is, you know what I mean? And, like, this is just the product of having spent 80 days in a small space with a person, I think,
right,
more than anything.
Yeah, and, like, so he was saying, you know, you're crying, that's making me out to be the bad guy. And she was like, well, now you're making a big deal of it. And he's like, you're the one crying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then luckily for Corey, it was shut down pretty quickly. And he was like, can we do this not on TV, please, in the future?
Right. And he walked out to Victor and Paul and said, I dodged a bullet there. Wow. Jeez.
Yep. Go back to, like, counting grass or whatever he does.
Yeah, these little lovers' quarrels are just they're popping up all over the place.
I mean, you know, I will say I am intrigued
ever.
To see talking about Nicole and Corey. Like, you know, we've always said it's been Nicole who's been driving the bus. You know, she's strategic. She's thinking ahead. Corey's like, you know, think about Christmas and reindeer and things like that. But this week has been a little different, and it seems a little bit more equal. In fact, Corey has been the voice of reason at a few different times. I'm very interested to see, because he really loves his bros. I mean, he's like, you know, he's like the guy in the football team that likes his team, you know, like his baseball team or whatever he plays, you know. So, like, I can see him really, you know, there's a part of him that probably wants to keep Victor, especially Victor safe at five, and you know, ride that a little bit further just so he can like bro down a little bit. So I mean, look, I don't love the bro down part, but considering I don't really love Nicole and I love Victor and
Paul.
Wait,
you don't really love Nicole, Brent. You love Nicole.
Oh, no, I don't. I hate her. No, because she's not self. The reason I don't like her is two reasons. One, she's annoying and I can't stand her voice. You can tweet me all you want about that, but it's annoying as hell. Two, she's not self-interested. It doesn't appear to me that she's self-interested in winning the money. And in order to play Big Brother correctly, I feel like you have to be self-interested in order to be selfish enough to say, you know what? I want the $500,000. Me. Instead, I feel like all this season it's been about, well, you're so great and I would lose to you. And, you know, you can say that strategy, but she's saying this in her private moments with Corey. And I just don't think it's strategy. I think it's real.
Really quickly, since Brent touched on Corey's baseball history, this is a research project I want to get into that it just came to me. I want to find out, like, from high school on, who has the better batting average between Corey, Devin Shepard, Ginger Ninja? That's what I want to know.
Are we talking about baseball or are we talking about other things?
Baseball. Who's the Big Brother home run king?
Wasn't Corey a pitcher?
Well, then Corey's probably coming in third with like a solid 100 average. But I don't know, maybe in college, sometimes some pitchers can, you know, really hit. So,
Well, Ginger Ninja, actually, to go off on a tangent, he played in Australia for a couple years. And I think he played like 10 years in the minors. So he played with like Delmon Young, James Shields, like a bunch of like people that went up in the. Yeah, he played with like people that actually are in the majors. So I would say maybe he wins because he's played the longest. But
I've heard from my friends in the gay and lesbian community that Corey looks more like a catcher to me. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so research project for those of you watching us live and listening in the audio archives. If you could tweet us and let us know what position did Corey play first, and second, who has the most runs of Greg Merritt, Devin Shepard, and Corey, what's his last name?
I almost forgot that's his real name. I'm like, Greg Merritt? Who the hell's Greg Merritt? I'm like, oh, Ginger Ninja. Okay, cool. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
There is a guy on American Ninja Warrior who calls himself the Ginger Ninja and totally stealing the name. And even and Akbar even says when he fails, like, oh, Ginger Ninja out.
That's rough. It's like when that guy on Opposite Worlds was Beast Mode Frank, and then Caleb came along and nobody knew about Opposite Worlds, so his thunder was just ruined.
Yeah, and okay, Frank's like, a winner.
Yeah. All right. He was Beast Mode before Beast Mode, and nobody remembers. Poor guy.
Let's jump back on track here. I think we're losing some people. Let's get on to the blasphemy.
I'm still here.
You'll always be here, Alex. That's why I love you. So let's flip things around. Taryn mentioned that the couples have been getting into some arguments this week. So it's not just Nicole. James and Natalie have been getting into it as well. First, yesterday. Yesterday I'll get some inside baseball. I was live tweeting about the episode because I was watching it, and I tweeted and said, wow, when James said that I won the game already, I said, wow, I feel so bad for James because I'm going to feel so bad for James when Natalie breaks it off with him 2 weeks after the show ends. And a bunch of people tweeted me and said, well, no, actually, James and Natalie kind of just broke it off today because Natalie said that she doesn't really do relationships or something like that. So, Taryn, can you get into that a little bit more?
Yeah, there's been a fair amount of tension between them. I think that James especially has been sort of thinking ahead, like his game is potentially over. Natalie is potentially like one of them is going to go home at this point. So he's out of time as far as Big Brother land goes. And I think that James kind of realizes that Big Brother land is a bit of a fantasy land. And when he leaves Big Brother land, he's not really sure where this is headed, as many of us are unsure of where it might be headed. And so he's really been laying it on thick, you know, really sort of trying to pry this out of Natalie. Like, what is this? Where are we going with this? And not really getting many confirming sort of answers. And it's been getting worse and worse. The intro that I did was in reference to an argument they were having as we were starting this podcast, where James was like, oh yeah, Victor's noticing that there's tension between us, which is total nonsense. Like, James brought it up with Victor.
That's Texas code, Taryn, to say another guy said something that you're feeling to project. Texas code.
It's very much in line with how James starts, like, any argument. They're having these little fights. Like, Natalie is saying, you know, when I feel down, I like to be alone. And, like, that's just what I do. And he's like, well, when you're in a relationship, you need to talk about it. And she's like, well, I don't know how to be in a relationship. And a lot of people were giving us some flack for what we were saying about James and Natalie's relationship. They feel like, no, they're totally going to last forever. They're lovers and soulmates and stuff. But it's not looking too good for them right now.
Yeah, bitch, please. These people who tweet me and are upset that I called out James and Natalie for, you know, not having a future after the show. Number one, I want to talk to Taryn about that because he said something on the show last night when Rob asked him a question about James and Natalie's future after the show and how James is playing Big Brother right now. But before I get to that, I want to say to those people who are criticizing me because I talked about how, you know, girls like Natalie are not with boys like James. I'm sorry. She's a Venezuelan model. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's not going to end up with a guy like James. Rob cut me off when we were talking about this on Thursday or Wednesday night. He said, oh, no, Bramwell. You know, we don't want to get into that area. So I'm getting into this area right now because Natalie said in the Big Brother house, she said, look, I'm not into guys for their looks. I'm into guys for their character. I'm like, bitch, you're basically saying that James has no looks. Like, I mean, that's the indictment when she says something like that. So, I mean, I feel like I am validated by that because she doesn't really like James in the looks department. And in order to have a relationship with somebody, you have to physically like them. And it's evident that Natalie does not physically like James. There is no sexual tension there, all right? She has a best friend. He's in the friend zone. That's all it's ever going to be. James just can't see the forest for the trees at this point. And it really pisses me off when people don't take me seriously. I'm sorry. Physicality is an attribute of a relationship. It may be a small or a big part of it, but it's there. And to totally poo-poo that, I think is a little bit short-sighted.
Alex, you get the final say. Physicality, is it important?
I'm going to go with the survey says yes, Jordan, but
And you call me wishy-washy, Brent.
I'll stop short of, saying, and for the record, I was having a conversation with our buddy Umberto online today, and I was saying, I don't think any of us ever said that girls like Natalie, no girls like Natalie ever are interested in guys like James. So I'm glad to get to the bottom of the mystery. It's Brent who does say that.
That's exactly. I was like, I just said that. Yeah, like, come on.
So don't tweet it at me. It's Brent. Brent can take that. But what I have said is that I have observed these two individuals for entirely more hours than I ever would have liked to this summer. I have watched this relationship blossom and develop well beyond anything I would have ever wished on my worst enemy. Trust me. Trust. All right? And the bottom line is that I'm looking at, like, people that are supposedly at, like, day 70 or, you know, 60-something of a relationship that are, like, you know, barely, like, touching fingers from separate beds. Like,
exactly.
This is not – I'm sorry, but, like, maybe every relationship and every situation I've ever been in my entire 29 years on this planet is just, you know, led me down a path of complete, like, misguidance when it comes to male and female relationships. But unless that's the case, I'm just calling it as I see it.
Are you telling me, Alex, that you don't finger cuddle?
I went and saw the movie Sausage Party today. I think that's called Touching Tips, I believe, is what that's known as.
I think that's something a little different.
Yeah, my gosh.
No, but he's right, though. He's right. Alex, I'm so glad you pointed this out because, I mean, like, if you like those people criticizing me for saying that, you're not watching the feeds, okay? You're not. You're not looking at what they're doing. They're not James and Natalie do not act like Corey and Nicole. They do not act like Polly and Zakiya, whatever the hell that relationship was. They don't even act like Frank and Bridget. They don't. They just, there's nothing there physically between them. And, you know, like I said, when Natalie says, well, I don't like guys for their looks, I'm like, well, first of all, you liked Victor during week one. And you also have told Nicole many, many, many times how you were in love with Corey on day one because he's so gorgeous. I think she's just being, she has, the thing about Natalie is she has selective memory. It's just like all this week, she's criticizing James about how he trusted Nicole and Corey. I'm like, bitch, you were the, you, it was you who turned your back on Paul and Victor. It was not James. It was you who got a wild hair up your ass about the fake tits comment. That is the reason why you targeted Paul. It is not the reason why that you targeted that you didn't want to target Nicole and Corey. That's the reason why you targeted Paul, because you got your feelings hurt. That's why she did it.
Oh, okay, quick side note. When Brent did the U there, it sounded like Soulja Boy tell him.
You too, eh?
So if somebody is like super talented with editing like music and stuff, can you please edit in the Soulja Boy song with Brent saying you?
You know, I have to say, for a week where there's literally shit happening on the feeds right now, this is a really, really hot show. Like, this, I'm telling you, we're doing good here.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, I mean, what content do we have to talk about? And that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, I get that people are critical of us judging a relationship. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's a weird position we're put in where we're supposed to talk about a game that features people who are like touching each other at night and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, this is all weird. It's a weird game. The whole thing is weird. But, like, this is what we're being given right now. This is what Big Brother 18 has produced for us. So this is what we got to talk about, people. You know what I mean? And, like, for better or worse, like, this is, you know, we're just going to call it as we see it. Jordan is dying laughing right now.
It's not even just that.
I cannot stop. I can't.
It's okay,
guys,
Jordan.
Guys, I'm crying. I'm crying. You!
So, like, okay.
Brent, it was all you, Brent. It was
all right,
you.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Taryn, go ahead. I'm going to wipe my tears.
Like, I think it's, like, we are getting asked this question, right? And it's a storyline in the show. Even if it's not in the edit, it's on the feeds. James is questioning this. He's questioning Natalie. He's not sure himself whether it's real. And so, you know, we are speculating on that. You know, this is not something that I enjoy talking about for the most part. Like, I would love to talk about strategy, but it is a storyline on the show, and people are interested in hearing about it.
Okay,
and
so
people have very strong opinions.
Let's talk about strategy, then. Because last night in the show, Rob asked you that if James knew that there wasn't a future for himself and Natalie outside of the house, that he would be concentrating on the game. You said yes. And I have a quibble with that, but I want you to explain yourself. Like, why in the world? What gives you any... Where's the evidence that James would concentrate on the game if he definitely knew there wasn't a future with him and Natalie? Because it says here that I think that he would still be trying to paw his way into a relationship with Natalie. No, I mean, if she's in within, like, 5 miles of him, he's going to try to get with her. Like, I mean, like, get with her, however you want to take that, okay? I don't necessarily mean sexually. I mean, like, physically or emotionally, he wants to be with her. I'm sorry, I said this on the Thursday night show, and I'm gonna say it again. Guys like James typically do not get to spend this much time with a girl like Natalie. It's just how the world works. Sorry.
Yeah, we should end this conversation because we're probably gonna get in trouble.
Yeah,
and also
talk about the game. Yeah, I'm
gonna start crying again, laughing so hard.
What, but I want to know if Taryn thinks there's a how because he said that James would concentrate on the game, and I think we saw last season that there is no game with James. Like, there is no game. Come on.
I agree with you. I think that if she was still in the house, whether or not she's interested, the fact that she showed interest at one point and they were together at one point, he would still be way too focused on that. But I think I was saying was that with Natalie removed from the equation, with no, you know, girl showing him any sort of interest, I think that James is much more focused on the game. I think that his main priority is still America's Favorite Player, but the game would at least be secondary instead of third place over girl, America's Favorite Player, and then game.
While we're talking about America's Favorite Player, like, literally just writing the check now, because after that show last night where It was like, you know, they were the underdogs and they were boohooing. And she was like, oh, Jamesy, I still like you. And, you know, it's the evil foursome who are, you know, taking out James or Natalie at this point. Like, I mean, it's airing right in the time where people are going to, because, like, you know, Final Five is like next Tuesday where they'll have the live eviction, or Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember what it is.
But like, yeah, it's a Tuesday. Yeah,
right.
Tuesday
it ends really fast here. So, like, you know, we always complain about all this time and then the end comes really, really quickly. So, I mean, like, the voting for America's Favorite Player is going to start in like a week and a half. And I don't think James deserves it, but I think based on timing here, he's probably going to get it.
Oh, Jamesy, you came and I won a care package.
Natalie won, I would be thrilled about that.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely. Although, I mean, if Nicole doesn't get it, I know Nicole's got a lot of fans as well, but I mean, I would hope to see, I think Paul and Victor have really single-handedly saved this season, but I don't, based on the care package votes,
I said this on the show. I think there's a better chance that Paul or Victor will win America's Favorite Player when there's 16 people up for eligible for the prize, where it was a little weird, wonky thing where America's Favorite Care Package had, like, you know, these people were eligible, and
right.
It was a smaller and smaller subset of people, and it was like Trump in the primaries where, like, Corey won with, like, you know, 40% of the vote or something. It wasn't a majority, but it was enough based on three people getting votes that he was able to win it. I really do believe that that's what happened.
I think as long as this sweetheart edit continues with James and Natalie until the end, and then Natalie leaves and James remains as the underdog that is going against these two couples, I really think that James is probably going to pull the America's Favorite Player out.
All right.
and he's going to be proven right.
Last thing on the James and Natalie thing, here's just my two cents on this whole thing. I know Natalie, some people have been going it like, well, first, some people are upset that, you know, guys like us are saying, oh, well, they're not going to last. Other people are saying, oh, Natalie is just using him, blah, 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 whatever. Like, no, she's been upfront with him the whole time. I mean, you know what? Natalie has not been malicious at all in this situation. So, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think Natalie's done anything wrong. Does it suck for James? Absolutely, because he was, you know, he thought otherwise. But anybody who's ragging on Natalie in this whole situation, like, come on. Like,
yeah,
what's she supposed to do?
And I wish that she was manipulating him. Like, I would love to see that, Natalie.
I'm in the same camp. Yeah, no, I would love if that were the case. Because that's the game that I signed up to cover, ideally, and best case scenario, you know what I mean? But no, that's not the situation here. I mean, she's a genuine girl, and, you know, despite her genuineness and her complete lack of knowledge of this game, she really has exceeded my expectations this season. I mean, coming in, I thought she was she had the least potential of any of these players, and she certainly proved that wrong.
Team Trainwreck, baby. Third round in the draft. I got her.
Yo, still alive. I'm still dead.
Right? Okay, let's jump into your questions for those of you watching us live. Again, you can get those in by tweeting me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RahappyHour, and we will get into those. Also, one other programming note. There was just a little bit of technical issues before the show, so the normal chat room isn't going. But if you do want to chat along with other people watching this live, there is a chat room on the live YouTube video. So just click on the YouTube link. There should be a chat room on the right-hand side of your monitor, your desktop, I should say. Let's take this question here. This one is from David Weymouth. David says, I'll throw this to you, Brent. David says, is there any way that Corey can win the game?
Oh, sure. I do think that Corey is actually, I listening to the jurors, I think that Corey may even have a better shot than Nicole at this point. I think Nicole is kind of a goat. Maybe we can talk about that, but I don't see many people that are really loving the game that Nicole is playing right now. Corey, you know, for all of his lack, you can say that he's boring and that he doesn't have, there's not much there. He's a little vanilla. I mean, he hasn't offended anybody. He's kept a smile on his face. He's been pretty honest to people most of the time. I think that some people would feel pretty good giving him the money. So, you know, it depends on who he's sitting against in the final two. I think against Nicole, I had Nicole higher, but again, a week changes everything in my opinion. I mean, who knows? I don't know how the jury can be. It seems to me that this jury is a little personal. And I think they're like, a lot of them have very personal, like anti-personal feelings toward Nicole. And I feel like they do not have any sort of those feelings for Corey. In fact, I feel like they have a little bit of like for Corey. So I feel like he might have a better chance to win the money than most people give him credit for.
Well, I think something you have to pay attention to is who are the potential people in the jury that are going to be stating these two their cases, essentially. And I think that Corey is going to have Polly as his biggest advocate. And I think Nicole, I think she'll have Day as her biggest advocate. I think that Devon respected the game that Nicole played. And again, I think that she will see Nicole as like, oh man, she's the one that got me. You know, I'm so good at this game. And Nicole is the one that was able to bring me down. And she's going to want Nicole to be the winner, you know, because you want the person, if you respect them enough, that got you to win. Because
really?
Then you're like, oh man, I was just one person away. Yeah, I think that, I think that Devon has that mentality.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do worry that Day will not like we saw like in Big Brother 13 where, you know, Dick's daughter, Danny, did not want to vote for Rachel, even though that they were, you know, Rachel was the girl that you could say brought her down. I guess you could, you know, Jeff too, but Rachel was definitely a part of it. I worry that Day may not want to give Nicole the credit, but I maybe you're right though.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, like, I agree with Taryn, but it's a leap of faith based on any evidence we have so far, because we haven't really seen, you know, the last thing we've seen of Devon talking about Nicole was, Nicole's a snake, Nicole sucks, well, Nicole can't be trusted, but I think, and that was a while ago now, so I think Devon felt like at the time, Nicole is wrong for getting me out, I could have been useful to Nicole, but
well,
you know,
I think
Day
that she
is
responded-
the kind of player that I think is a bit results-oriented. And if Nicole's able to get to the end, now she will say, like, okay, well, Nicole got me out and managed to get this far, so I do respect the process. Is that what you were going to say or no?
Well, when she saw Nicole's goodbye message, I thought she responded really well to that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, she did it. She got me. And that's sort of where it's coming from on my end.
Right, right. Yeah.
All right, let's take another one. This one is from Shut Up Tim, friend of the podcast. Shut Up Tim says, ding, marry, kill. Jadley, Nikori, Sitting Ducks. Taryn cannot choose kill all of them. Hashtag Fency Fencington. So that is
Fency Fencerton. Get it right. But yes, exactly. Yes. I can do this one, but I think it's pretty easy. I mean, you've got to marry Paul and Victor. You've got to ding Corey and Nicole, and you've got to kill James and Natalie. Like, come on. Are you with me on this, guys? Come on. Okay, I like it.
I don't know. I think
it depends on what occurred to me that I'm talking to three straight boys when I said that. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe there's something to this. I don't know.
I don't want to do this one.
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
See, again, they call me wishy washy.
Hey, I've always maintained I'm the neutral box of the three of us. I've never deviated. I'm the alternative option, as Lydia said in Big Brother 11. That's me.
Can you update your Twitter bio, Alex, for just the neutral box? I think that would be right. That would be great.
Well, my problem is I'm such a wordy person. I'm already out of characters, so
yeah.
Squeeze it in there.
Exactly.
I have too many things to say about myself, Jordan.
Yeah, I think ultimately I'd go the same as Brent, just because the amount of like nonsense bickering that goes on between Nikori and Jadley would just drive me insane. I can't do that.
Yeah, I was trying to think if you could make an argument to kill Nikori, but I think the thing that separates it is that we haven't gotten like a ridiculous edit on Nikori that's supposed to make us think that's like a fairy tale situation. Whereas like the James and Natalie thing is really just kind of like setting up fans for, you know, things that aren't really there and some stuff like that. So I you know, that's probably right.
Oh, poor James. Okay, this next question is from Keith Dixon. Keith says, if Paul doesn't win Final Five HOH, what can he do to ensure that both him and Victor are safe next week? Brent, what do you think about that?
Wow. I think he's got to hope that, you know, it's a dicey situation here, because you want to prepare for Final Five, but you also don't want to let Corey and Nicole know that you're preparing for Final Five, because then they have carte blanche to be able to do whatever they want to prepare for the Final Five. So, you know, it's probably a really tough position for him to be in right now, but he has to hope that if James gets head of household, which, you know, I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying that. Like, I mean, we have seen no evidence that James could get head of household. I mean, unless it's a wall competition, which is not going to happen. So, I mean, I think the odds on favorites are Paul, Corey, and Nicole. But, like, let's just say for the sake of argument that James gets it, that he puts up one from each side. That would at least give Paul and Victor, and for that matter, Corey and Nicole, a fighting chance. And Natalie has encouraged him to do that. He said, you know, she said, you know, if you win head of household, you should put up Paul and Corey. And I think that James would probably do that. Maybe. I'm not sure.
That's a possible scenario. And another scenario that I could see potentially, which, you know, it doesn't seem very likely, but we've seen Paul navigate himself through unlikely scenarios to this point already. So I don't think it should be ruled out, is the idea that, you know, Nicole, you know, has committed to this Final Four and does seem pretty committed to it. I think if, say, Nicole or, you know, Corey win HOH, if they're able to somehow convince them, like, look, we're still good for the four, let's put up James, I'll be a pawn, let's do it. Say Paul goes up next to James, Victor wins veto and pulls off Paul, and now Nicole has to put up Corey. If they could somehow convince Nicole and Corey that James is everyone's target and just use one of us as a pawn and then win veto, I mean, that could flip everything. But, you know, that's just something I don't know if there's, that's not, doesn't seem very likely, but
yeah, what I would want to see them do is what they had already done. And if they had just left some amount of fake tension between the two of them, to have some sort of, you know, at that point, it would have been almost 2 weeks of build up toward this sort of thing where they're like, you know, we are together now in this Final Four, but I don't really trust Victor anymore. And Victor doesn't really trust me anymore. And they individually go to Corey and Nicole and they make sort of deals like, you know, I don't think I can beat Victor in the end. He's so likable. He's come back twice. He has this huge story. Like, I need to, you know, secure myself, be above Victor. If Nicole and Corey see Paul and Victor as a separated pair, then it's very easy to see them as bigger assets than James, who might be even an even bigger jury threat. But unfortunately, again, like, they just haven't put that groundwork in, and they just let that thing that they had worked so hard to build go. And I'm not sure that they can pull that move off anymore. I would still like to see them try, though, because I still think it's their best shot if the scenario happens where Nicole or Corey win the HOH.
If Nicole and Corey win head of household, from their standpoint, I would like to see them, like, even if they're loyal to Paul and Victor, I would like to see them nominate Paul and Victor, because I feel like they would need to go to them and just be honest and say, look, I'm going to leave James off the block here. Obviously, the veto is going to be either James is going to win the veto, in which case it doesn't matter, or we win the veto, one of us four, and then we can put James on the block. I mean, I feel like they have to make that argument. Otherwise, they're leaving themselves open to exactly what Alex or Taryn talked about. I think it was Alex who talked about, you know, where, you know, Victor's off the block. He pulls down Paul, and then Corey has to go up in his place. So, you know, it would be a really tough sell, but I think that they could probably do that, and they should do that, it says here.
Knowing our luck, Brent, I don't think that'll happen, but that would be so glorious. Could you imagine?
It would be great.
Well, that is the play. And I mean, we have seen Paul, you know, I don't want to rule it out at all, because we have seen Paul convince people to do things that aren't in their best interest a couple times already in this game. So it's not impossible. And I think the thing that makes it encouraging is the idea that it's Nicole, that Nicole is someone who, when pressure is applied to her, she tends to go with the safe option. And the safe option is to stick with the four that you have. So
right.
If
and
you
also,
can convince her, you know, it's on the table.
And Victor does have a relationship with Nicole where they genuinely like each other. And I think Nicole knows that if Paul is not there, like, let's say she nominates Paul and James, that Victor would probably take Nicole to the final two, as Corey would as well. So there's a play to be made there if they want to take it.
All right, next question is from Not John Fincher. Not John Fincher says, regardless of whether they can win, who is most likely to be sitting in front of the jury on finale night? So let's go around the horn. Who do you guys, if you can pick one person, you can say, I'm putting my money on this person to make final two. Who is it, Alex?
While he's thinking, because I don't like dead silence.
I'm going to say
Corey.
Right?
I appreciate
that. Corey finishes in second place this season. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
I was going to say Nicole. I think Nicole, you can pencil. I think from my standpoint, you can pencil in Nicole for final two at this point. I don't see anyone who really wants to evict her, nor should they want to evict her. I think it's, I am not as high on Nicole's prospects as I was a week ago when I had her in my top two to win the game. I just think there's a, you know, I'm trying not to let Michelle totally overwhelm my opinion of that, but I do think that the other girls in the jury think kind of like Michelle does, and I don't know that they're really going to respect Nicole's game. So I think Nicole would probably end up in the final two. As for the other person, I have to think, and it depends on how the house guests are thinking, but I have to think that they are going to realize that Victor is a massive threat And not only is he a comp threat, but he's also a jury threat. You know, you can say he's been evicted twice, but he's really well liked by people. And he's, you know, he doesn't have as much money. Paul has a fair amount of money from what they've talked about on the feeds, and Victor does not. And I think they would realize that Victor is the bigger threat. So because of that, I think Paul is the other person likely to be sitting next to Nicole at the end, which would be great.
Yeah, I think Nicole. I think Nicole is much the most likely person to be there at the end. Natalie has even talked about it as, like, you know, she's setting herself up to be taken no matter what. And that really is kind of the way that it's shaping up to be.
All right. Next question. This one is from Alejandro Ibarra. And Alejandro says, if Nat survives this week, wishful thinking, I know, could she still find a way to win? And if so, how? Taryn, what do you think about this with Natalie? Let's say things flip and she does stick around this week. Is she going to have to win out, or can she kind of, you know, get by just by being Natalie the next few weeks?
You know, right now, with the amount of dislike and distrust that Paul and Victor have for her, and the amount that of distrust that Nicole has for her, I really think that even if she stays this week, she is almost certainly gone next week. I do think she needs to win out, at which point maybe she has a case to make in front of the jury, but I'm not sure I see it happening for her. She's getting beat in physical competitions. She's getting beat in mental competitions. I'm not seeing a scenario where she's able to win out.
Brent, Alex, you agree?
Well, I mean, like, I don't, again, I think she's in a really bad spot. You know, I didn't listen to all the podcasts last night, so I don't know if you guys talked about this, but the fact that she finished second in the veto competition, and she also was right there at the end during the head of household competition. The house guests are a little nervous about Natalie's prowess in these competitions. They're like, you know, like Nicole said on the show Sunday night, you know, she pulls out weird wins whenever you don't expect her to. I mean, the girl is talented. So, like, I really don't think she has a play to survive this week. But if she does, I agree with Taryn. That's twice now we've agreed. We agreed about Nicole. We agree about this. I think she probably has to win out in order to get to the end to make a case for herself that she is a worthy winner.
Okay. Wow, almost three times in a podcast that Brent,
right?
And
I know.
Are gonna agree.
Is there a full moon?
I go away for a week and this is what happens. I should go on vacation more often. Alex,
well, we still disagree on whether or not Nicole has those jury votes. I think
that's true. Yeah, we do.
So we've got that.
Yeah,
so there we go. Can't be in agreement on everything. Yes. Alex, anything else you want to add on that?
I guess, you know, I think Natalie doesn't necessarily have to win out. I could see a scenario where she mostly wins out and then, like, beats Corey. I feel like Corey is, you know, and maybe I'm just ignoring the fact that he could, like, be very articulate at the final two, but I just don't expect it or see it. I think Corey is, like, a pretty, pretty appetizing person to sit next to at the end at this stage of the game.
Okay.
All right, next one is from Deborah Garin. Sorry if I butchered that. If James stays and wins HOH, should he pick a side or take one from each side to put up? What is his best option? Alex, let's say you're James next week, you win HOH. I guess you got to put up Paul and Victor, right?
Yeah, I pick a side. I just, like, lock in a final three with one of these duos. And then going forward, who knows? You know, you can then, you know, do something else next week. But you win, and then you solidify a final three at five, and that is, you know, we talk about that, you know, what Nicole did with her HOH last week. She won HOH to set herself up so she doesn't have to win this week. Victor winning this week had to win this week. Survival win. You know what I mean? That's a fundamental difference in why somebody wins HOH and why somebody wants or needs HOH. If James were to win at five and solidify three, he's set himself up. He's in a three. Now he doesn't need to win at four. So that is a solid play.
Brent, what do you think about that?
Oh, wow. I mean, like, you know, like, this is where my bias comes in. Like, I want him to put up, like, Corey and Paul, but I kind of feel like I agree with Alex that his better play is to nominate Victor and Paul, unfortunately. I feel like in this scenario, Victor would probably be the one to go, although there is a fair amount of distrust of Paul. And, you know, like, he's been a very good gamer, and he has never been evicted, and he's been a very good player. So I'm not sure. I think Nicole would probably... I'm gonna change my answer on that. I actually do think that if Nicole and Corey are the ones voting, I think both of them want to keep Victor. I really do. I think Nicole would want to keep Victor, and I also think that Corey would want to keep Victor, just kind of to bro down. I think Paul might be in danger if it's him and Victor on the block.
Yeah, and another thing about that is that Victor is a bigger target. Victor, keeping Victor over Paul kind of ensures that James isn't going to turn around on you at Final Four. James is going to have to go after Victor if he wins that veto. So you're really only looking at being in trouble if Victor wins that HOH or the veto, obviously.
You really think that's his best play? Because if James wins veto at Final Four, and like if it's him, Victor, Corey, and Nicole, I mean, doesn't he have to take out the duo at that point? Doesn't he have to evict? Because then if he takes a duo to the end, they're taking each other. And he's guaranteed nothing. Whereas if he like breaks up Corey and Nicole, like let's say he evicts Corey at that point, Nicole is going to take James to the end. And I think Victor may take James to the end. Probably not, but at least he has a play there where he doesn't with the duo.
No, I agree. I think that's the optimal move. I'm not sure James makes that move, though.
Okay. All right.
I think that, especially with how much Natalie has just been drilling into him, like, Victor is just the greatest guy in the world. I would vote for him in Final Two. I really want Victor to win. I think Victor is really getting, you know, built up in James's head as this like huge threat, this person that would absolutely win if they got to the end. I think James is going to feel like I'm going to stick with Nicole and Corey. I got to take out Victor. If I don't take out Victor, he's going to win the game.
All right. Speaking of Victor, next question comes from Dylan McKinnon. Is that again? Sorry, they're terrible with these last names. If Victor wins, then what tier of a winner is he? In my opinion, he'd be in the lowest tier with Jordan, Rachel, and Dick due to the twists. So, Alex, if we fast forward in a couple weeks and Victor somehow is the winner of Big Brother 18, where are you putting him in your rankings?
He would be in my lowest tier due to the twists.
Okay, you agree. So would he be at the bottom of that tier? Would he be higher? Where exactly would you put him?
He would be relatively low simply because of the utter lack of strategic acumen. I think it's tough. Victor needs a Paul to be able to move forward in this game. Otherwise, he's going to have the wool pulled over his eyes pretty much every time, I think, because he just doesn't see the strategic subtlety that exists in the social dynamics of the Big Brother house. So I think that he would be a very flawed winner. It would be like if Joe Anglim had managed to like win his way to the end of Survivor, if Ozzy had won South Pacific after coming back from Redemption Island. It's like, you know, this is the example of someone who is able to essentially win out and or like, you know, use their abilities in the competitions almost exclusively as the driving force that got them to the win.
Taryn, any thoughts on that? You're probably in agreement, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's at the bottom, honestly. I think that even when you look at the other winners who won because of a twist, they weren't evicted, you know, week two and another week as well. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they were saved from eviction once or twice, but never so early in the game and never in such a final way. So I really think that he would be at the bottom.
Brent, I want to get your take on this, Brent, because you have Rachel Riley higher in your ranks than the rest of us.
Thank
so
you.
It would be
yes.
Interesting to get your take on this one.
I'm inclined to say he would probably be in my middle tier. He's an incredibly likable guy. You know, I give the comp wins more weight than these other two do. So, I mean, I'm inclined to think that he would probably be like, what, are we 18 seasons now? So he would probably be like, you know, like 13 for me. I mean, you can make him our argument that other people have had help, you know, Evil Dick in his season. I mean, you know, if it's
right,
not for America's favorite player, you know, so I mean, like, you know, that's why there are other people that have had help. You can call it help. You can call it whatever. You can call it a twist, but whatever. I mean, I don't love the fact that Victor would be a worthy winner of Big Brother, but I'm looking at the other people and I'm kind of like, besides Paul, I really don't see anybody else who I personally would warm my heart to see win Big Brother. Like when Steve won last year, like, you know, you guys remember, you were on the podcast with me. I was absolutely thrilled that Steve won Big Brother. I mean, it made me feel good as a TV viewer, as a strategic person, if you can call me that. Like, I didn't love the fact that Vanessa lost, but I felt good about the win. Again, going into this season, if Victor is the winner, I'm going to feel great about that strategically. Not so much, but I'm not going to dog him too much for it.
Right, and I think it should be noted that, you know, I think we're operating on different criteria. Like, Alex and I are talking mostly about, like, his equity in the game to win. and you're more of, like, You know, will I feel good about this? You know, is this a good thing to watch? And I agree. I think that Victor is probably one of the happier outcomes. But you know, strategically, obviously, you know, not going to be super great in any given season.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like each of us could almost make three separate winners rankings, where it's like one from an entertainment perspective, one from a like, how good is this player and how likely are they to repeat? And then another that's just based purely on the season they won, their resume, their body of work. You know what I mean? I feel like each of us would have a slightly different list for all three of those. Mm. So it is. It's like there's some subtlety with regards to these like winners rankings in terms of what you're really judging. Because, yeah, I mean, like, for example, if Paul were to win, I would say his winning game doesn't look that strong. You know, he was a target so much early. He benefits immensely by Victor coming back twice. But if he were to play again, I like his chances more than a lot of people who have won this game before. So it is the difference there.
Have given me off-season ideas, Alex. If only we weren't down with OTT.
Too bad there's no off-season, brah.
Right. Maybe I'll have to save it for 2017 sometime.
Yeah, and by the way, people tweeting me and Taryn on Twitter about, you know, you down with OTT. Bitch, I do not know rap. Like, even when somebody told me what the answer to that question was, I was like, what is that? Like, I've never heard of that before. Like, how do you, so, like, Alex, you down with OTT?
Yeah, you know me.
Okay, so I didn't know that that's the answer to the question, but, like, apparently I figured it out on Twitter that there was some song that apparently I should have known. Like, I mean, have you looked at me? I'm a gay boy. I listen to Broadway, you know, show tunes and 80s pop music. Like, I don't know who the hell Yeah, You Know Me is. Like, give me
yeah,
a break.
I'll take Naughty by Nature for 400, Alex.
Well, when I saw that on Twitter as well, I was
right?
like the one, like a reference that I would get, I was like, wow, this is one that I knew, which I was stunned that I knew what that was. But yeah,
right,
Alex, we needed you.
I went back and listened to it. And like you can like people were like dogging me and Taryn, and I'm like, now I see it, because like Rob's like, you know, Brent, you down with OTT? And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. and then he tries again with Taryn, and he's like, Taryn, you down with OTT? And Taryn does exactly what I did.
like I said, what do you expect from me? You
right?
know, this is this song that was released before I was born, and it's a hip hop song. Like, I'm totally like up on all my hip hop knowledge. Like, what do you want from me?
And then Rob just gave up. He was like.
But in fairness, Flavor Flav did eventually cross over into the reality TV competition genre. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
There's crossover. I totally watched Flavor Flav.
There's crossover potential here.
What was it? Love something?
You didn't watch Flavor of Love, Taryn?
Flavor of Love. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm shocked and appalled.
The big clock. Oh, my God. I live for it. Yes.
Alex, we were talking a few weeks ago about you and I needing a podcast. I think we found it. Flavor of Love Lives with Alex right. Kidwell and Jordan Parhar.
Wow. That sounds like a heck of a train wreck waiting to happen.
Oh, I love New York. Give me some New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, let's take the next question. This one's from Josh Musto, 123. Josh says, would Paul's best move to win the game be cutting Victor at 3 and then taking Nicole? So this is an interesting one. I'll let you guys mull it over. Taryn, I'll throw it to you first. What do you think about that? Do you think that for Paul's game, it would be best for him to cut Victor and to take Nicole with him? Because for me, I don't know. I feel like Paul can just argue, hey, look, I didn't get voted out a single time. He got voted out twice. Vote for me. And then he doesn't have to piss off his best friend.
I do think that's kind of a rough spot for Paul, because he sticks with Victor, and I think that he might have a tough time beating Victor. I think that Victor is really well-liked. He definitely is going to get Natalie and James's vote based on what they've been saying, and certainly could get some others. But then if he betrays Victor, I feel like people will kind of be a little upset about that. Certainly Victor would, and now Nicole looks like, again, like this strategic mastermind who kind of like orchestrated this thing and got Paul to betray his best friend. And I think that one of Paul's biggest arguments right now is his loyalty. The fact that he hasn't really stabbed anyone in the back. He's been the one that's been stabbed in the back multiple times and he's survived. And if he betrays his own friend to get to the end, I feel like that kind of throws a wrench in that story. And I'm not sure how that's going to play.
Yeah.
Fool's narrative is he got boned all season. If he starts doing the boning, pissed.
Yeah, I agree. I first of all, I don't think that he would make the play because I don't think he can accept, like, if he has the chance to go to the end with Victor and himself, I don't think that he can accept a world where Nicole is the winner of Big Brother. Like, he's going to want, like, it's going to be like Cody and Derek all over again. Like, you know, well, we won. We won because we got to the end. It was the two of us, the sitting ducks at the end. And I hate that mentality, but I think he's probably the one who's going to take it, because if he has the chance to take Victor to the end, again, I agree with Taryn. I think he's going to have a tough time winning. I think there's a lot of positive energy for Victor in the jury, but I think he would, that would be preferable to him getting $50,000 and Victor getting $500,000 and them walking out like hand in hand, rather than him cutting his best buddy and having a really bad look in front of the jury. Like, and the possibility that Nicole might win the money.
Oh my gosh.
Saying we won Big Brother is like naming your band the Lone Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. I would, because I disliked Cody so much, and I, you know, at the time I wasn't loving Derek. Like, I respect him, but I didn't love him. I didn't love that attitude of a we won Big Brother. If Paul and Victor do it, I'll like it a little bit more, but I still won't love it.
This is the sound of a smug grin on my face.
Okay.
Hey, I can appreciate the honesty. Respect.
All right. Next question is from Andrew Kirk. Andrew says, who do you guys think is doing the best at jury management right now? Yeah, this is something I haven't really heard about. And I mean, based on the little bit of feeds that I've been watching and been keeping up with, I haven't heard too much about this. Who do you guys think is doing the best job at this? I guess Victor by default, because he just keeps getting voted out, Brent?
Yeah, Victor. Well, not just that, but he's a very nice guy. He's very easy to live with. I mean, you know, people enjoy his company. He seems very honest. I mean, the times that he's been screwed were when other people were lying to him. He wasn't the one doing the lying. And as I said before, it's evident to the house guests that he comes from I'm not saying he's poor. He's not poor, but he doesn't have tons of money. Let's just put it that way. He's not living the high life. And so I think they would feel really, really good about giving Victor the money. And he's also, he's shown compassion to people at times when he didn't necessarily have to, you know, even talking with James at some point. I think Paul also said this to him, but Victor said, you know, well, you're a real straight shooter. I really appreciate that. So, you know, he's not totally like he's saying to us in the diary room, yeah, I want to get this guy who, you know, evicted me and have the satisfaction of that. But in front of James, at least he's not like really like, he's not twisting the knife. He said it in the nomination ceremony, but I think James actually respected that from him at that point. I think he was like, you know, you heard him. He said respect. Like, I get it. You know, I know why you're putting me on the block.
Also, I think not to be understated is this idea that the person who kind of gives the jury what they want is someone that becomes someone the jury roots for. And, you know, Victor, not only did he come back at the right times that gave him momentum and people were rooting for him, you know, Dave Vaughn gave him some information. He got the battle back and people were happy to, you know, see him, you know, and he persevered and came back. But also, let's remember, what did the jury house really want? Paulie on a silver platter. Who gave it to him? Victor did. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that when you're looking for jury management, when you're looking to placate, like maybe being the HOH that takes out the tastiest target that everyone wants a piece of, that plays pretty well.
Yeah, when I think about jury management, I tend to think about like what has the player been actively doing to try and win over jury members. I think that that Victor is a very natural sort of person that wins over jury votes because I talked about this last night, but he's very straightforward. The fact that he's been evicted twice, nobody's going to blame him for stabbing anyone in the back because he's been stabbed in the back himself, and he's absolutely seen as an underdog. So I think all of those really help contribute to this idea that the jury is really going to like him. But as far as people that are really actively trying to win over jury votes, I think that Paul is the one that's been trying the most. I think that, you know, whether it's Devon, you know, lying in her goodbye in the goodbye message to her, or Michelle, he really tried his best to make amends with her before she left. I think that Paul has really been active in making sure that that people are leaving on good terms with him, even though his own kind of personality gets in the way of that sometimes. So I don't know if it's super successful, but I do think that Paul is one of the people who is thinking about it the most. And obviously, I think Nicole is thinking about it a lot, but I don't think she's been as successful as Paul has been.
Yeah, that's a good point with Paul, and it does kind of remind me of, like, you know, the guy who was doing all the jury management in Big Brother 16 was Derek, and, you know, here he stays up all night praying with Jocasta, knowing she's going home the next day. Like, he put in an entire night's worth of jury management. Like, that was work trying to build that relationship for the sole purpose of trying to get her vote, and that was her reasoning for why she didn't give him the vote, which she felt like that was fake and manipulative and contrite. So, like, It just goes to show that, like, putting in the most work doesn't necessarily mean you're getting ahead.
Yeah, and it's why, like, you know, people talk all the time about, like, oh, you know, they didn't do the jury management properly. It's like, the jury management thing is, I think, a lot more subtle and a lot harder than the game itself. And I think it's really largely out of the player's control how the jury is going to view them. They have a very small amount of control over how they are perceived by other people. And really, you just have to hope that it's a good perception and that whatever work you can do is going to make just enough of a difference that you're going to be able to win.
And I also think the people who are best in terms of, like, social perception, and I don't know why I think of, like, you know, like the Todd Herzogs of Survivor, or, like, you know, but, like, obviously, like, there are good examples in Big Brother of people who just not just knew what a jury wanted to see and what a jury wanted to hear, but what each individual member of that jury specifically was looking for, and what, on an individual one-on-one personal relationship, what you needed to give that person so that you could count on their vote, and not just thinking about it in big abstract terms, but really breaking it down to the individuals involved and what they're looking to see from you.
Yeah, I think Andy was really, really good at that.
Great.
By the time the jury was questioning him, he was able to just, like, smoothly ride it out to the end. Obviously, he's sitting next to Gina Marie, which is, like, a home run in itself. But I think that obviously Dan in season 10 is somebody who really did a lot of active jury management and was really able to read the jury and do exactly what they wanted to see from him. Even as far as, like, poisoning them against Memphis, that's kind of the active jury management that is very effective if
just
you can do it properly.
A tangentially related question. I mean, like, I don't feel good about Corey and Nicole's prospects, and I know that the final questioning has mattered less and less, but they've got to say something. Nicole is so timid. Corey is so mealy-mouthed. I don't really see them being very good in front of America on a live television show, whereas I think Victor and Paul have shown themselves to be very well-versed as far as how verbose they are. They're able to talk their way out of anything. You know, you can say what you want about Paul. I know he's good, but Victor's also good. He's able to, you know, he's able to say, have some fun diary rooms and have some fun with the house guests. And, you know, he's not, when he needs to say something, he says it with conviction. So, you know, them up against either Corey or Nicole in a final two, I really do think that Corey and Nicole may be hurt by their inability to own their game. And I don't think Paul and Victor would have any problem with that.
Yeah. I think with Victor in particular, I think that if you're sitting next to Victor in Final Two, what you want to do is ignore him. Let him do his monologue about how he was evicted and came back, because that kind of sounds very silly, and I don't think it's going to play very well with the jury. But if you attack Victor, if you go at him, he will demolish you. He's very, very good at remaining very calm and bringing up very, very good points that just shut the conversation down. So if you tried to attack him in any way, I think that's where Victor's really going to shine, and that's where he's going to win over any sort of jury votes that are still up in the air.
All right, let's take the next one. This is from friend of the podcast, Nelson Branco. Nelson says, is Taryn still single? Will he be single tomorrow?
Vomit.
Was he single last week? So Taryn, for the folks at home, are you single, ready to mingle?
Look, things change, you know, things go in flux all the time. You can never know. On any given day, it could be any given answer.
Can we just turn this into a big Jeff Taryn interview?
Right.
Now, Taryn, if you were a small mammal, now what kind of marsupial or what would you go for there?
Can I get multiple choice answers?
A lizard.
Hey, lizard. Right? It's a total Jeff answer.
There are no other answers.
Oh,
it's
my god.
Just lizard.
Gosh.
And then once you answer lizard, who would you rather race against in a 100-meter race? A lizard? Or a pig.
Oh my
gosh. Wearing clown shoes.
Wearing, oh jeez, big Jeff. So for the record, Taryn, remember back in the day on Facebook when like your relationship status was like a big thing and you'd have your profile
been
hidden. Right? And so Taryn always had, it's complicated, I imagine. And he still
hidden. Not even
Hidden. Okay. Yeah. But if it was public, Taryn would go, it's complicated.
It's never complicated with me.
Okay. Well, Nelson, for you, I am a single man. So just so you know, yes.
Really quickly,
I'm available.
Since we're in a crazy
Nobody
town here.
You, Parhar.
Go ahead, Brent.
We're in crazy town with Taryn is single or whatnot. Stephanie, Mama's Love, 77. She wants a shout-out.
That was my next thing.
Brent. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was going to.
We all were going there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, girl. Yeah. Woo. Congratulations, Steph. I don't know how old you are, but you're looking good and feeling gorgeous.
At Mama's Love 77, big happy birthday. Shout out to Stephanie. So, Stephanie, thank you for listening to the show from the LFC and myself. Hope you have an awesome day tomorrow. And I was going to say, I was going to save that for last, but we'll take one more then. That's okay, Brent. No, it's all good. Great minds, my friend. Great minds think alike. Okay, last one. This is from the Bachelorettes. Bachelorette says, who as a winner would make the season as a whole ranked the highest? And who would make it ranked the lowest? So this is an interesting question. I think we're probably all in agreement that if Corey wins, it's probably the lowest in terms of satisfaction. Right, guys?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Depends on how he does it, though, right? Like, if he cuts Nicole at Final
Daniel.
Three.
Yeah,
if he Drew Daniels it, like, that's kind of fun, right?
True.
He's basically like slightly watered down Drew Daniel at that point. Like, he's not that much worse, is he, really? Like, I mean, he didn't, you know. What was Drew, really, besides, like, kind of a, you know, generic, you know, white guy for a while who's just kind of blending in with the background until he finally kind of woke up. Diane played his game for the bulk of the time, just like Nicole has for Corey.
I think he fits the mold perfectly. I think they're still casting this mold, and they have fit another one perfectly in this mold.
Like, well, Drew was terrible in the DR, but you know what? Double down.
Drew was terrible, so let's bring Shane and Clay and Corey, because one of them is going to be good. Okay, so Taryn, then if it isn't Corey...
They look good in a tank, Jordan. They look good in a tank.
They do. So Taryn, then for you, I guess, who would it be at this point?
I don't know. Probably, you know, James. He's gonna have to basically win out at this point, and then he probably wins just because he's likable, not necessarily because of the game he played. I mean, not that I'd be like super disappointed at a James win, but I think that that's sort of like the most. Although, if we're talking about general audience, I feel like that's probably going to be one of the more desirable outcomes. So it really depends on how you're looking at it, I guess.
You do bring up a good point, though. You know, if James wins, like, oh, God, is James parlaying it into Survivor or Amazing? You're like, no, I don't want that at all. That's my new answer. You changed my mind.
Yeah,
okay. James.
Yeah. James and Corey at the bottom. I think Paul's Paul clearly at the top. And in fact, for my money, as far as how I'm feeling about the season, Victor winning, I would also feel great about the season as a whole. I mean, like, you know, it would deserve the winner that it gets from all the twists and the team and the roadkill and whatever the hell it had. I mean, that would be an appropriate winner in my eyes.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth in terms of who I really want to win, Paul or Victor. I kind of think I am Team Victor at this point, just because it's so crazy that it would just be incredible if he won, and it just would be so unprecedented. And I think we're all on the same page. I think we all know Paul is going to come back at some point. So a Vic win would be great, in my opinion.
Victor would be the equivalent of the Pax brothers. I mean, that's what it is.
That's what I was thinking.
Speaking of,
this is the winner you get for all your twists.
Yeah. Speaking of coming back, can we just point out that Corey told the producers, or Big Brother as they call them in the house, that he wants them to know that he is he's fine with coming back, but he wants them to give him a break. Like, he doesn't want to come back for Big Brother 19. Like, he wants the producers to save him for Big Brother 20 because he needs a break. So he just wants everybody to know that. Alex, you had a tweet about this, and I was like, girl.
Yeah, this is like it's like become the most popular tweet I've ever had. It's like up to like 400 likes. It's really taken off. It's become viral, my distaste for Corey. Like,
to be fair to Corey, like I think they were having a discussion about this, and they were all talking about it. But yeah, you know, very, very funny taken out of context.
But yeah, my line was like, oh, okay, bro, thanks for the heads up. You know, like, I'm sure production really appreciates you letting them know that you need a season off in between the time when they're planning on bringing you back. Because obviously, bro, you are on the short list.
Yeah, along with Glenn. Glenn is also on the short list to come back.
Well, that's not a joke, dude.
Right?
They should put
Glenn on the OTT. Like, I don't know why they're not putting Glenn on the OTT. Him and Jody on the OTT, can you imagine?
Ooh,
like,
that'd be fun.
Why would they do that? It's so crazy. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to start winding things down for today's show. So thank you to everybody for listening. For those of you in the chat room, if you want to brainstorm hashtag ideas, although I have several just based on all of the crazy things we talked about on today's show. Before we get into this week's review of the week, just a reminder, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Never miss an episode of the audio version. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And you can also subscribe now on YouTube. We're getting pretty close to 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you could subscribe, if you haven't already, we would greatly appreciate that. Go to robiswebsite.com/YT. So just the letters YT if you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel. This week's review of the week, which you can leave over at robiswebsite.com/happyhour, was left by Davin Lannister. And Davin, he's a very long review. And it was based off of Mike's request last week for the purple monkey dishwasher thing, which was very funny. Alex saying, I thought her name was Crandall. That I was laughing pretty hard at that. That was a great Simpsons episode. But somebody, Davin, went all the way through, and he compared all of you guys to Simpsons characters in his review. You can read the whole thing over there, but I'll just quickly say it. He says, Armstrong Taran is the most Sizzlack of the show, as he provides an unbiased, strategic, and scientific view of the ongoing goings in the BB house. I had no idea that's what Mo Sizzlack was like, but okay. Right? And then Brett Wolgamott channels his inner Hans Molman each week with hilarious think football in groin video high energy rants that always have me cracking up. And then the last one was Alex Kidwell in his thick Maryland Scottish accent balances out the podcast with tiebreaker votes and insightful discussion, all the while soothing the mind with a young groundskeeper Willie with a hint of Duffman. Oh yeah! So there you go.
He killed everyone on that battlefield, including Willie.
You've got a really that's a really good impression, Alex. Well done.
The best line ever. Like, how could you have died, bro?
Oh, The Simpsons is such a great show. So thank you, big thank you to Davin for leaving that review. For everybody who leaves a review, you get entered into a draw to win a Skype call with me at the end of the season. Three people will be getting those. So if you haven't done so already, please go ahead and do so. It really helps the podcast. And before we get onto the hashtag, guys, things you want to plug before we get out of here. Taran, what's going on with the American Ninja Warrior podcast?
We're in the final stretch here. I've been talking about it the last couple of weeks. The Vegas episode, I imagine, just finished fairly recently. The second one, you still have time to catch up. This is, again, you can just watch these three final episodes, and that's basically like what a Sasuke tournament is in Japan, the original show, which is also amazing. And so you can check it out. It's been really interesting. It's been really fun. I had on the podcast Ian Dory, who is a legendary competitor. Last season, he came very, very close to winning it all, and he had some great insight into the course and his run on the show, and also like the shoes that you should wear when you compete on the course. So that was very interesting. We will be recording about this episode probably tomorrow, and I try it out. It's a lot of fun. I podcast with Lita. She is a riot. She likes to make fun of people, and so if you like that at all, you definitely need to see her in action on the podcast. Just give us a shot.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing I'm just kidding. Actually, American Ninja Warrior podcast is very good. I listened to the Ian Dory interview. It was very fun. And if you guys don't know, Jessie Graff, the first woman ever to beat stage one on American Ninja Warrior. It was absolutely exciting. I loved it, and I loved hearing Taran and Lita talk about it. Anyway, I'm doing a RuPaul's Drag Race. It actually dropped today, RuPaul's Drag Race recap with me and Mike Bloom and Ali Lasher. We did a recap of episode 2 of All Stars 2, which was the snatch game. A lot of stuff went down, and somebody quit, and then somebody else was eliminated. So it was a very fun episode. Please go watch it. It just dropped today, and we have our own iTunes feed, so make sure you subscribe to that.
All right, awesome. Alex, Fear the Walking Dead, you guys just dropped a new episode as well, right?
Yeah. I'm keeping busy over on postshowrecaps.com, which is our sister website for anyone who hasn't checked that out. And it's all, you know, scripted stuff. We are reviewing movies and TV shows and stuff. The aforementioned Mike Bloom, very active over there. They're going back and recapping Lost and, you know, Seinfeld, Mr. Robot, lots to like over there. But yeah, just this morning, me, Rob, and Josh Wigler recorded a Fear the Walking Dead recap for last night's episode. And yeah, the show has actually been getting a lot of criticism, but I actually thought last night's episode was pretty good. And we've been having a lot of fun talking about it. So either way, the podcasts are a lot. They're good.
Yeah, I think we know a thing or two about crappy TV shows and good, like having fun on a podcast. So
spinning straw into gold like Rumpelstiltskin, bro. That's what we do.
That's right. And then I actually have a plug today. If you guys, I don't know if you guys are into the fantasy football, but I had a bunch of drafts happen the last few weeks, and I kind of botched some of them. So I'm getting into the daily fantasy football. So if you wanna play some fantasy football against me, I don't have it all set up yet, but it'll be dropping tomorrow on my Twitter. Just check it out. I'll be tweeting out a link. You can play fantasy football, daily fantasy football against me on FanDuel.com tomorrow. And if you can sign up, use the promo code PARHAR when you sign up. If you send that to me, let me know that you did that. I will follow you back on Twitter. So how about that? That's we can play some fantasy football together, have lots of fun. So keep a lookout for that on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Okay, hashtags, guys. There's a lot of options today. I was thinking Soldier Brent Tellum. I think that might be a good one. Or hashtag Devin's Tunnel. I think that was good. I don't know what you guys would prefer. Anything that comes to mind for you?
I do like Devin's Tunnel.
Whatever you guys want to pick.
Such a plethora of great catchphrases. You really can't go wrong here, Jordan. We had a good, definitely no shortage today.
Okay, so how about we just go, if you don't have a lot to say, but you've got, and you've got the characters to spare, use hashtag Soldier Brent Tellum, and tweet us and let us know what you thought about the episode. And if you have more to say, use hashtag Devin's Tunnel. Both work very well. You can follow all these guys on Twitter if you're not already. Alex is at Alex Kidwell, Brent is at One Lucky Gay, and Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. I'm at Jordan Parhar. So please tweet us, let you know what you thought of this episode of the Rahappy Hour. And leave some comments at robbinsatwebsite.com. Always love reading those and hearing what you guys have to say. I think that's going to do it for this week's show, guys. So I really appreciate you guys checking us out live. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you to the LFC for joining me and welcoming me back with open arms. It feels so good to be home. It really does. I love you guys so much. So one love. So thank
we get,
you.
We get Mike back soon, right?
Taryn, we're going to have a talk after the show. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for everybody for tuning in. We will see you next Monday. Same time slot. We've had some, you know, time slot issues the past few weeks. We're going to keep this time slot the rest of the season. And so 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday nights, the rest of the way throughout the BB18 season, unless you hear otherwise. For Brent Walgamont, Alex Kidwell, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Soldier Brent Tellum. Hashtag Devin's Tunnel. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. The theme song of the reality TV Rahappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.